unheardnerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
Officially throwing our names into the hat to direct Avengers Infinity Gauntlet Part 1 and 2. I'll take 1, John can take 2, because Joss Whedon's a bit of a pussy and he's bailed out. This is Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. And joining me, as always, is John. How are you this month, John?
I'm good, Will. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a month. It's actually, we've achieved it. Mission accomplished. Achievement unlocked. A monthly podcast. In case anyone missed episode, was it 3 we did last month? Yeah, the episode 2 was 6 months before that. So in case anyone missed episode 3, we're here. This is the beginning, really. This is like Star Wars starting.
Yes.
It's episode 4. So we've got a new quicker format, which involves me talking less crap and us just whipping through stuff. We try and keep it to about half an hour, which worked really well last week.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, we don't have much lined up, so we're going to ad lib again a little bit. But let's start where we always used to start, with what have you watched since last time? And it's only been a month, so not much, I would have thought.
I watched John Wick with Keanu Reeves.
Last time it was with Brad Pitt, and this time it's with Keanu Reeves. You get a lot of people around your house.
I know. They just pop over, you know.
I hope they bring beer. how was Keanu Reeves? Depressed?
Sad. He was sad Keanu.
How was John Wick?
Fucking excellent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's it about?
He's a retired hitman, professional hitman, and he's got himself a wife. I mean, if you see the trailer, what I'm going to tell you is not really spoilers. It's all laid out beforehand. She dies of cancer, and then a few days later, she's arranged for him to have a puppy delivered. So, and there's a little note from his wife saying, "You've got to move on with your life. Here's something else you can learn to love." And so he's got himself a little puppy, and then some sort of Russian gangsters see him in his car at a garage, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we like your car. How much?" He's like, "Oh, it's not for sale." And they're like, "Ah, fuck you." And then the next night, they turn up at his house to steal his car, and they succeed in stealing his car, beating him up, and they kill his dog.
Oh wow.
And so, as a professional hitman, he decides to whip out the old weapons he's got in storage and get his revenge.
Look, the wife dying I can handle, but the puppy, it's a step too far. I can't handle that. I'm on board. I'm with Keanu on this. So it's a bit of an odd. I mean, I'm not doubting it's good, but it's a bit of an odd. It's like, yeah, they killed my dog. I mean, most people wouldn't have that reaction, but
it was a present from my wife.
Cool. Well, that sounds good. And is that officially out, or is that
it's on demand, I think, in some places.
Some places. Gotcha. Have you watched anything else?
Something else, I don't know if I mentioned last time, something I watched before Christmas, I think I hadn't mentioned. I finally got around to watching Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh right, okay. I've got that line.
That?
I know I've got it lined up, and when I say lined up, I mean legitimately. I'm waiting for it to come via Love Film. It's on my list of films that I'm going to watch. So I haven't watched it. Is it good?
Yes, really good. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, slick use of editing. So obviously it's got a big sort of Groundhog Day vibe to it in terms of you watch the same thing happen again, again, again.
Yeah.
But just like Bill Murray in the original, obviously he knows what's going on. And as the film sort of moves on, the cutting of each day gets progressively quicker and quicker and quicker, so it can just flow with the main story more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's but I was just really surprised how good it was. It's really enjoyable.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, I'll have to give that a watch. I mean, I'm definitely, it's on its way. At the moment, I've got Godzilla, which I'm going to watch tonight. I did see that at the cinema. It wasn't amazing, but I'm going to watch it again, just because, why not? So that's what I'm going to do after we've recorded this.
Ah, cool.
I'm going to watch Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Cool. I've only really got two as well. I watched, finally got round to watching X-Men Days of Future Past.
Uh-huh.
And anyone who's listened to previous movie podcasts or Betamax and Laserdisc episodes, sorry, will know that actually I'm not the massive X-Men fan when it comes to the movies. I've never really been that engrossed with them, but this one was all right. I mean, again, I still struggled to get on board. It's not as slick as a Marvel film would be. Obviously, it's made, I think, by 20th Century Fox?
Yeah, 20th Century Fox hold the rights for that from Marvel, yeah.
That's right. So it was all right. It was entertaining enough. Just not really that engaging, and I had to keep explaining, you know, some of it to my wife, who actually is a fan of the X-Men series. She likes them far more than I do.
Well, shouldn't that be the other way around? Shouldn't she be explaining things to you then?
Well, yeah, the thing is, I've read the comics and can explain the backstories.
Okay.
She's like, why are they, what? Who's that? She's like, okay, right, okay, well, yeah, there we go. Anyway, so I watched that. It was all right. It was a decent, you know, couple of hours. Didn't mind it, but I won't rush back to watch it again.
Fair enough.
What I did watch, a more recent film, is I had a Friday off work recently. This is a tragic story. I didn't get to make the sword.
Oh, no.
I had to work on the day that I was supposed to go make the sword, thanks to last-minute budget for the next financial year. For anyone that doesn't know, I'm a financial controller by trade. So I had to set a budget. I had to help set the budget, and I ended up working sort of weekend as well, and you know, sort of long nights and what have you. So I didn't get to go and make my fucking sword.
I suppose they put one by for you, did they? Well, pop it in the post.
Well, it wasn't so much the sword, it was the making it that was cool.
Yeah.
And I probably have blown now our relationship with HBO or their agents anyway. But never mind, we'll move on from that. But what I did get in lieu was a day off on a Friday, and the kids were at school, my wife was at work, we have a childminder in the evening, and I didn't want to get in her way, so I went to the cinema, and I went to see Birdman.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Michael Keaton film. And I didn't fully know what to expect going into it, but I had seen all the good reviews about it, and yeah, they're accurate. It's a really, really good film. It follows the story, as we know, of Michael Keaton's character, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm so bad at... Oh, it's Rigget Thompson. Sorry, I can remember his name. And he has previously been an actor who played a superhero in big budget Batman-like films, or in this case, yeah, Birdman. And it obviously is playing on the Batman, you know, parody. It really, you know, in a serious way, it's not like a... It's not an obvious parody, but it is really playing on the Batman thing. And it is taking the piss a little bit out of Christian Bale as well and his portrayal of Batman to an extent. And he's, yeah, this former actor, hugely famous, fell out of love with the character. People started knowing him as Birdman rather than the actor that he actually was. Decided not to do the massive fourth film. Yeah, obviously did well for himself, but his fame and his life has not really amounted to much else since those films. A divorce from his wife. He's got a daughter who's been in rehab, drug problems. And so he channels all of his efforts in a bid for success and fame into a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Now it's not, as I assumed, a Broadway show of Birdman. It's it's something worthy. It's something artistic, and it's in its faces. You know, it follows the challenges he has putting this Broadway show together. His lead actor is useless to start with. He's replaced, I won't say how because it's quite amusing, with Edward Norton. His character, you know, he's dealing with his daughter who's working as his PA, and you know the problems that she's having with life. His ex-wife is in the scene, his current girlfriend is there, she's got life happening and he's not really engaged. At the same time, he's struggling a little bit with a mild schizophrenia. I would say he's got voices in his head, but the voice in his head is Birdman. And that's where the parody, I think, of the you know, Christian Bale voice comes in, because Birdman speaks very much with a deep voice, very husky, and he's always telling him that he's not good enough, he can't do what he's trying to do, he's not going to succeed, he should just give up, and he could still get back into the Birdman suit, he could still do it, he could still pull it off. And there are just these great, you know, wonderful indignities that he faces throughout this process. But the most interesting aspect of it is that the whole film is presented as one long shot, one long take. So there's no cutscenes, there's no different camera angles. It's one camera that follows the action from start to finish. In it's continuous. There's no pause, there's no break.
Wow.
Now, I say it's presented in that way because there obviously are the clever techniques they've used. For example, in the back of the theatre, there are dark corridors and doorways. Mm-hmm. So there are moments where you see the character sort of go towards a door, it goes very dark, and then the door opens and you see the person going out. I mean, that's an obvious place where they can pause, regroup, and then, you know, start the camera again as the door opens. But it seemed, it's very impressive. It just flows really beautifully. It's a very fluid piece of work. And I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend it. Having gone on a Friday afternoon, there were old people and you know, one or two other sort of middle-aged people in the cinema. It was only about 10 at most in there. It was a perfect time to go and see it. It was great. Really enjoyed that. So, wonderful film. Definitely watch it. It's not a superhero film at all. It's a black comedy, but very, very well worth watching.
Excellent.
I was hoping to go and see Big Hero 6
today.
My eldest has been a bit of a shit yesterday, and so we've lost that privilege, I'm afraid. So we didn't go and see that, but I was hoping to give a review of that today also. But hopefully next time I'll have seen that too.
Looking
forward to that as well. So that's what's in the cinema at the moment. Should we have a look at what's coming in February?
Yes, let's move on.
And of course, on the website, I'll have a little article on what to see in the cinema in February, as I did with January. I better get on and do that, because it's February tomorrow at the time of recording.
Ready, bloody hell.
I know, it's moving along. And February's a short month, so before you know it, it'll be March. but you know, I'd say not a great deal hitting the cinemas in February. There's one or two things of note. So early in February we've got Jupiter Ascending.
Yes,
I think you know a little bit about this.
The latest film from I almost said the Wachowski brothers, but not brothers anymore. They're the Wachowski siblings.
Yeah, what is the deal there? Is one of them had a sex change or what?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, that seems the most plausible. I don't know, we live in a modern age. It seemed like the most plausible answer. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
All right, yes. One of them's had the change, but I mean, I don't think that should affect anything in this modern day and age.
No, exactly.
Just if people have got an opinion, just keep it to yourself. I have apparently the reviews are coming this Monday. The embargo is lifting, but some people I've read some people have sneaked out and said that it's a visually stunning film, but it's just got no substance to it. The story is old and cliched and not that good.
Oh right, oh dear.
But visually amazing.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, visually it looks stunning from the trailers that we see, and we've seen their trailers for quite some time now because. Yeah, it's a film that's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Warner Brothers put it back 6 months apparently to help get the some of the special effects shots finished up.
Yeah, well, there's that coming then. Anyway, that's certainly I think in probably UK cinema. I think that's February 6th that's hitting. Also February 6th, a film I think you're quite keen on, Seventh Son.
The trailer looked quite interesting. I mean, that one's been, from what I remember when I stuck up the last trailer, it's been put back quite a lot now. I just forgot all about before it even existed.
Well, there we go. Obviously, it's a trend, put the film back, but release it early in February 2015. it stars Ben Barnes, don't know who that is, Julianne Moore, I do know who that is, Jeff Bridges. I don't know if that's the real one or the CGI one. and Alicia Vikander, again, don't know who that is, but looks interesting. It's from the director of Mongol, The Rise of Genghis Khan in 2007, Sergei Bodrov.
Moving on.
Don't know much about that. That's coming. Also, the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water. On the 13th of February, quite a lot of hype surrounding this film, certainly in Britain here. I don't know about the States, but Kingsman, The Secret Service.
I forgot to say Shaun the Sheep then.
No, I mean, there has been a lot of hype surrounding Shaun the Sheep, and apparently Shaun the Sheep is huge in Japan.
In Japan? Oh, really?
Amazing. Yeah, I read this, I don't know whether I read it, but I read it in one of the media outlets, Shortlist or Guardian or something earlier this week. Yeah, Shaun the Sheep is huge. It's a massive unit shifter in Japan. Crazy, huh?
That's mental.
Yeah, but Kingsman, have you heard anything about this?
Yes, it's based on a graphic novel by Mark Miller, who wrote the Kick-Ass series.
That's right, yeah.
And it's about, I'm going to use an English expression here. I don't know if anyone, it's about a chav whose uncle is in the Secret Service, a bit sort of a spin on the James Bond mythos. And the chav is going to get sent to prison, and, you know, his life is just sort of, he's just wasting it away. And so his uncle says, well, look, come with me, I'll train you up, and you can be in the Secret Service like me. And it all just sort of goes on from there.
Because it's that easy.
It's that easy to get in, yeah.
So I started applying, and this is no lie, recently when I was between jobs, I started applying for a job at MI5. And the application process takes 6 months.
God.
That just application, you have to apply, you do your first application, you get sent another one, you do another one, you get sent another one, you do it. They do checks into everything, you have to supply everything, and it's like, well, I just bailed. I was just like, you know, I can't do this. It's like,
well, they're in my fire, can't they do the checks? I thought that's what they did.
Well, they do, yeah, they do the checks, but you have to supply all the information, you have to literally supply everything. It's just a little bit, you know, I got another job, so don't worry about it. and the training could have taken me anywhere in the country, you know, you could have to go anywhere at short notice. And that's an aside. Also out is 50 Shades of Grey.
Whatever.
Okay, mold porn. Okay, moving on. Okay, we're up to mid to late February. Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Didn't see the first one, sorry.
I did see the first one, and it was shit, but it had moments that made me laugh, and I suspect Hot Tub Time Machine would be much the same. It's a bit shit, but it'll have moments. That's all I can say, really. I don't know. I don't know much more about that. There's Everly, which I know you posted about recently.
That is good.
That's around about the 27th. And that is Salma Hayek doing a bit of an action thing, is it?
Lots of guns and blood. If you watch the, I think I posted the Red Band trailer.
You did, yeah.
Which looks like it gives away pretty much all of the kills in the film. Mm. But it does look like a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. So there's that. So there we go. That movie's coming in February. And I will obviously do a far more detailed post on the website. So check that out, theunheardnerd.com.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. The trailer dropped.
At last.
Totally wasn't expecting it, to be honest, personally. I haven't been following it at all.
Well, it does seem everyone was like, why is Fox hiding it? Why are they so secretive?
Yeah.
The only things that leaked out visually were a shot of the Thing maquette on set, which Fox were pretty quick in sort of trying to stamp it out the internet, and a shot of Doctor Doom, which is just a sort of look like a bloke in a cloak on a green screen stage,
right.
But that got quickly stamped out as well. And even when I remember websites got hold of I think it's like the audition sheets or whatever had descriptions of the characters or something like that, they're posting those character descriptions online because they're like, well, this has been officially issued by Fox, so therefore, you know, it's legit stuff to post. But then Fox are coming back down on the website saying, no, remove it, take it away, we'll get the lawyers out. It's like no one could do anything about it, and everyone's like, is it shit? Is it so shit that Fox are embarrassed? They don't know what to do with it. And then all of a sudden, was it last week? Bang, here's a trailer.
Yeah, totally unexpected. I mean, I happened to look at my Twitter feed, and it just popped up from 20th Century Fox UK, I think. Or maybe it was a promoted post for, it was Fantastic Four UK, their Twitter feed. Weird. I watched it. I didn't mind it, I'll be honest. It couldn't be worse than the last Fantastic Four film.
Oh, they're terrible.
I mean,
they really go down the campy route, don't they?
Really sucky. As much as I enjoy watching Jessica Alba's bottom, I didn't enjoy the rest of the films at all. And I'm not a massive fan of the Fantastic Four either, regardless of the fact that they are they're Marvel's oldest superhero team.
Yeah,
the original team up from Marvel. But I don't know. I mean, the blurb that goes along with it says it's a contemporary reimagining of Fantastic Four. Interesting to see how they explain the fact that the siblings, is it Johnny Storm and is it the Invisible Woman, they're actually like brother and sister, but yet they're different. So I'm not sure whether they're going to fudge it or whether they're going to just say they're not siblings anymore or what. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
But it has a feel of sort of Interstellar about it in a way.
It's going the more sort of serious route, isn't it?
In terms of visuals, yeah. I don't know. I mean, there has to be an element of comedy to it, because by nature, that's what Fantastic Four was. It was a little bit, there was always an element of comedy to it, certainly between Johnny Storm and Ben Grimm, the thing. So I don't know. We'll see. But positive, I'd say. Looking better than I expected.
Yeah, interesting. I read that apparently Marvel have actually disbanded the Fantastic Four at the moment.
Mm.
In the comics, they've gone their separate way. And they're not going to do anything about the Fantastic Four while the film comes out, almost as if in protest.
Well, it's a similar thing with the X-Men. Because Fox owned the rights to the X-Men, Marvel refused to introduce any new characters to the comics. So they'll continue with the characters they've got. But as soon as they create a new character, it then gives Fox a new character to work with. And basically, they want to sort of strangle the creative pool that they have. So eventually they just give up and the rights revert back to Marvel.
Well, unfortunately, if they keep making... I know it's Spider-Man. Sony have to make one film every 5 years to keep the rights. That's why we keep getting these shitty films of recent.
But there has been talk of... was it Sony and 20th Century Fox teaming up to cross over characters? And there was even, during the Sony leaks, the possibility that Spidey would be able to appear in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It seems that the talks broke down and it's not actually going to happen. But it must be hugely frustrating for Marvel, who've really turned things around with their own studio.
Yeah, they just can't.
Not to have their own characters to work with. And you know that they would do it so much better.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's not to say that I think they should have a monopoly as such. I think it's good to have other studios with some characters, but I think they need to be the more minor characters. Like the Punisher or the Silver Surfer or like characters like that.
But, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. There's plenty coming from Marvel that we've got to look forward to.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and Joss Whedon has said that he probably won't direct the Avengers 3 double bill, like the double parter, which is the Infinity Gauntlet. Leaving that to someone else, but he has...
He has said he's been completely knackered after doing two Avengers films. He wants to do something else now.
It's true, yeah. Rumours are that he might pick up the reins again for the Captain Marvel film. Yeah, he's obviously very good at portraying strong female leads on screen, at least on TV. And that might be a job that's really good for him. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that happens, because I really hope they don't mess that film up. We'll see. Keeping it Marvel, how about Agent Carter? Did you watch it?
Yes, I've seen the first two, and me and the missus love it. We think it's brilliant.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. not like us to disagree on things.
Oh, no, of course not.
I've only watched the first episode, and I'll be honest, I did not really care for it.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm a bit down on the Marvel TV stuff. I don't know why. I'm not, I've tried getting back into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've started watching season one from where I left it.
All right.
So I'm trying to persevere with that, and because I can't just jump into season two without having seen the rest of season one. So I'm trying, based on your recommendation, but still struggling with that. And Agent Carter, it just didn't really do it for me. I didn't. It's not having a female lead. It's not the fact that it's set in, was it the 50s, isn't it? Or
yeah, I think it's late 40s, early 50s.
Early 50s. I didn't mind the style, but I don't know, it just didn't grasp me. It didn't capture my imagination as I was hoping it would. Because I was looking forward to it. The fact that I haven't watched episode 2 yet kind of indicates that lack of interest. I have continued to watch The Flash, which I think is getting better and better each time.
Uh-huh.
Do you disagree with that?
I haven't watched The Flash.
You haven't you watched any of it?
No, I just I don't know, the character doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
No, someone who runs fast. Yeah, and?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a little bit teenage in terms of its target demographic, I think. But I think they do it quite well. And the thing that worried me was, like, you know, actually portraying someone running really fast on screen is quite difficult and quite easy to get wrong. But they do it. They do it quite well. And, you know, he takes on different meta-humans, they call it, rather than people with power.
Oh, I see.
People that have been affected by the same thing that, you know, gave him his power. Barry Allen. And then I watched the crossover with the Arrow, and which, you know, I haven't been watching because I don't really care for the character in that. But, yeah, I've been enjoying The Flash. I think it's been improving. I've been keeping up with Gotham. I think I'm probably one or two episodes behind still.
That's still good. Still enjoying that.
Constantine continues to be excellent.
It does. I'm really hoping that doesn't get cancelled because it's really good.
Heroes Reborn. I've got a little bit of news on that came out. Obviously, Zachary Quinto, who played the best character in Heroes, Sylar. He has turned down a return to the show. He's decided not to participate, but said it was all on good terms and. Yeah, you never know, there might be a cameo in there at some point. But I think the guy that played Peter Petrelli was the character. I do believe that actor has signed up again. He's back in. So the guy that played Horned Rimmed Glasses and I think Peter Petrelli are both in, as far as I know. So, and that is definitely coming out this year. Possible webisodes as well.
Isn't it? I heard it's a sort of a mini series, a limited run of about 13 episodes.
And obviously we've got the Daredevil show coming to Netflix, which I'm quite excited about. But there's also news about the Jessica Jones show as well, and David Tennant, the former Doctor Who, has signed up to play a villain in that. He's going a bit darker, isn't he? He's doing that Broadchurch drama thing at the moment that's on TV over here, where he's a bit of a moody moody guy. Seems to be going a little bit darker, maybe a change of
trying to get away from the cheery Doctor Who he played.
Perhaps. But yeah, so that's interesting casting. We'll see what happens with that. All right, so we have to, of course, tackle the Ghostbusters thing. And we have to be, I think, open-minded about it. Though I can't really see how it's going to work, an all-female cast in Ghostbusters.
It's going to work somehow because they're making a film of it. But
yeah, but I mean, is it going to be... I mean, it could be surprisingly good. It could be.
My biggest problem is there's a film out called Spy. I think it's just about to come out in America, which is the tale of a CIA agent who gets to leave her desk job and actually go out in the field for the first time. And it's played by the actress Melissa McCarthy, who's also in the director Paul Feig's previous film, Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids did amazingly well, didn't it? It was well received.
I haven't seen it. I mean, that film did really well, but... Watching the trailer for Spy, I'm just, you know, head in my hands. And it's one of those films where the trailer shows you these clips and it's almost like there's a voice in the trailer saying to you, it's funny because she's fat. And it's like, oh, God, this is the guy who's in control of the new version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting spin on it. I mean, they're shitting on our youth, but in a unique way. It's not like they're taking the film, remaking it or reimagining it as it, you know, with the same elements in place. At least he's changing the core element, that is, every character is a different sex. I mean, it's bold, it's ballsy, and it's certainly getting a lot of hype. But I don't know. I am very apprehensive about it.
I'm gonna feel bitter about it now. The set photos will appear online with them in their costumes, and people will just rip that to bits. And then the first trailer will come out, and we'll go. That's the timeline of events as I see it. Anyway.
Well, this is a time capsule. We can come back to this at a later date when we've actually seen the film. I just wish they didn't. I don't think it's a film that ever needed remaking.
No, not at all.
Yeah, there are some films, you know, Back to the Future, don't ever remake it. Please don't.
They won't, because I know for a fact the producer has it written into the contract that if they want to do a sequel or remake it, they have to ask the original producer, and he'll just flat out say no.
Yeah, that's reassuring. But yeah, I don't know, there's just too much of it at the moment. Too much, and this...
Too much playing it safe.
Yeah.
Why do we have to play safe on everything and do sequels and reboots?
I don't know. It annoys me immensely. But yeah, okay, it's going to happen. We'll see what it's like. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we mentioned Hot Tub Time Machine earlier. I just kind of imagine it going that way. Just, you know, that's four guys, very base humour, very slapstick. I kind of imagine this going the same way. You know, four women.
Who knows? I could be sitting here in like 18 months' time with my collector's edition Ghostbusters remake Blu-ray sitting on the shelf going, I can't imagine ever hating that film. It was amazing.
I feel terrible because, yeah, I don't want to think that the reason I'm so against it or that I'm dreading it so much is because it's an all-female cast. I don't think that's anything to do with it.
No, it's the fact it's remaking a film we love so much from our childhood, I think.
And with characters that, you know, I mean, look at the characters that were in that film. I mean, Bill Murray, I mean, the guy is just, you know, charisma, just exudes charisma. To this day, he's a fucking nutcase, but he's amazing. Dan Aykroyd, I mean, just brilliant at what he does. And I think these are very big shoes to fill, very big shoes to step into.
Incredibly.
I don't know. And I just, yeah, I know the guy whose name escapes me, but the guy that played Winston Zeddemore.
Oh, Ernie Hudson.
That's right. He initially came out and said, what the fuck are you doing?
I know. And then he did a quick 180 the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, completely. He's like, oh, amazing.
I think his Twitter feed just said no comment when they announced the cast, and a few days later he suddenly went, it's a brilliant idea, it's amazing. It's like, had a talk with your agent, have you?
Yeah, maybe got a part in the film.
Maybe.
Or maybe he found out, you know, he'll get a kickback from it, who knows. But fair enough. We'll see on that one, time will tell. Okay, John, well, I think that probably wraps up another show. We did all right. We did it. We did 2 months in a row.
Let's make it three.
Let's make it three, yeah. Next one is Empire Strikes Back, so it's only going to be better. And then we'll see. Six will be a bit darker. Yeah, with shitty Ewoks in it. Cool. Okay. Well, until next time, John, thank you very much for joining me once more.
Thank you very much, Phil. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Oh, don't forget, hit us up on Twitter. It's at UK Film Nerd. Almost forgot. At UK Film Nerd for John, and it's at The Unheard Nerd for me. Find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. You can get us on the email if you've got a question or something you want us to address. It's theunheardnerd@gmail.com. And visit theunheardnerd.com for regular movie, music, comic, video game stuff. We've got Chadley and Tristan with season 2 of Impossible Gaming at the moment, which is it's actually got better than season 1, which is good news. So plenty of content and plenty to keep you occupied. So, yeah, until next time, thanks a lot.
TheUnheardNerd.com.